Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Lori Gaino, and she's on a mission to connect women with God's passionate love. She's also a speaker, teacher, author, and businesswoman. She founded Out of the Ashes Ministry, and you can go to the website by the same name, outofashesministry.com. Lori has spent her career in construction as a licensed general contractor and owner of a residential design build construction company. It is here where God implemented a passion for restoration and grew that passion into a longing to see women restored in the fullness of Christ. Lori and her husband Jonathan have one teenage daughter and live in the beautiful hills of East Tennessee. Welcome, Lori, to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you talk about that you walked a broken road for many years. So just set the stage, share your story with us.
Sure. You know, I grew up in a home and a situation that included parents who struggled with addiction. We really battled abuse, and my father battled serious mental illness. And it was devastating to my walk with God at that time. It impacted me in how I viewed myself, how I understood my worth, and from the abuse that took place at that time, I began to battle panic disorder and anxiety. And so those things, you know, of course, began to grow and manifest in different ways. And I struggled through anorexia and just some of the different battles that can come from trauma in your childhood. And it took many, many years for me to begin to see my way out of that. But God did an extraordinary restorative work. And, of course, that makes me feel so driven to see other women restored in the same way.
I have to ask how a beautiful lady like you became a general contractor.
Yes. Well, you know, it's funny. I purchased my own home when I was 18 years old, and it was a tiny little starter home, but I did it to get out from under the situation that I was in. And I ended up having some different job offers in my career, and I began to travel, and I rented that home out, and the renters destroyed the house. And so when I came back, I came face to face with what I was going to have to fix and do. And I had the money offered to me by my stepfather to fix the home, and I would have to pay him back. And I said, absolutely not. I don't want your money. I will do this myself. And he told me I couldn't. So to prove him wrong, I did it. And it started a career.
Wow. I mean, you actually do the hammering and
yes.
sawing.
That's right. Yes. I have been in construction for 22 years. And I started out really with a primary focus in carpentry. And, I've worked in almost every trade that there is. And then led a business that went from part-time to full-time. And, of course, you know, ended up with my general contractor's license.
Yeah. So with that, then you're over men.
That's right.
And there's not that many women that are in the field.
Not at all. In fact, my husband worked for me for many years. To date, and in the last few months, I've turned the company over because my ministry, and really not just the ministry, but God has called me to do this full time. And so it's been an interesting transition, but I have turned the company over. But yes, I spent those 22 years having to oversee and direct men, and there is a cautious balance in that.
Yes, yes. I mean, that could be a how-to book in itself. But the book we're talking about is How He Loves Us, and the subtitle is Revealing the Affections of God. It's a huge hurdle to go from a earthly father figure who's abusive, to trusting in a heavenly Father. So maybe mm-hmm. share a little bit of that.
Yes,
with
it
us.
Absolutely is. That was an incredible journey for me. And you know, what started my turn back toward God, because I gave my heart to the Lord at 13, and I didn't have any discipleship around me. I didn't have anyone to show me what it meant to live a life for Christ. And so I really went off the deep end for several years. But when I met my husband and got married and then got pregnant a few months later, I began to really have to face my demons. I began to have to look into what I had walked out of, because I didn't want that for my own child. And so God just did this extraordinary work in my life with that. And as he did it, he began to open the doors for me to go back into the trenches and reach for other women. And so I had the honor of teaching women who were coming out of prostitution, prison, addiction, domestic violence, human trafficking, all sorts of different difficult situations. And in that, I wanted them to understand the way God saw them, exactly where they were that day in that moment that they were in, because I knew that unless they understood God's love for them, they would not have the equipping, I guess, that they needed to, and the motivation to walk out of what they had lived their life in.
So do you think as a whole, Christians are failing to show this love to the world?
You know, I think that there are some who do it really well, and then there are many who don't understand it for themselves. So how can they show that to others? We can absolutely cram religion down people's throat and say, do it this way, don't do it that way. But until we understand God's love for us, until we fall madly, deeply in love with him, we truly are not going to have the keys to live a life for him, serving him, dying to ourselves, you know, doing really what the Christian walk looks like when we're being conformed to the image of Christ.
So with your marriage, I suppose that there's new insights into God, first with getting married and then with your child.
Mm-hmm.
So talk to us about the insights. Was your husband a Christian?
My husband had grown up in a very strict, very legalistic environment, and he knew God. He could quote books of the Bible to you, and he was extraordinary in his recollection of Scripture, didn't miss a church service, but he did not know the love of God. And so when we were married, boy, we were at opposite ends of the spectrum, because I knew very little, but I had begun a relationship with God that was healing me, and he knew everything, but he did not know what that love and intimacy with Christ looked like or felt like, or what that meant to encounter it. And so, you know, we both have been on our own healing journey together. It's just looked so much different from each of our perspectives.
I find that over and over again. I think that the story of the prodigal son and his brother plays out on so many levels, because mm-hmm. you have that very self-righteous Christian that knows it all but is so judgmental. And then you have that baby Christian that doesn't know it all, but they're just so helpful and loving and
yes.
kind.
Yes.
So where is the balance?
It's funny that you mentioned that story as well, because I had this kind of awakening moment with God several months ago as I was reading that story with fresh eyes and watching the son ask for his inheritance early. And as I read that story and sat with God, I thought, you know, how many of us are asking for our inheritance early? How many of us are demanding something that isn't ours yet that would then lead us to that place? But isn't it so reassuring to see him come back and walk into those grace-filled arms of a father? And yes, there's incredible balance in seeing where we're to be positioned, just in our surrender before the Lord. You know, are we willing to openly give of ourselves every day to God with all of our time, all of our talents, all of our skill, just to be used by him and for him in order for him to do a greater work in others?
And then that brings me to the question, why or how did you know to write a book?
Oh, sometimes I think God is just crazy. You know, this was all led by him, and I had an extraordinary opportunity to sit in on a workshop done by a pastor on the Song of Solomon. And the Song of Solomon is a book that we often overlook, we often ignore. It seems like a whole lot of physical intimacy. It seems like I should be blushing and covering my eyes and not reading this. But I sat through this workshop, and it came alive to me. And so I spent 3 years studying the ancient Hebrew of the Song of Solomon and began to see the buried treasure hidden in God's word regarding the way the king interacts with his believer as an individual. And in that, what I was seeing was spiritual intimacy, not as much physical intimacy, but so much spiritual intimacy between the king and his believer, the Shulamite. And so as I had this experience in the Word of God with this, I began to write a study for those women that I was teaching at that time, the women coming out of really difficult situations. And I paired one woman of the Bible with each chapter of the Song of Solomon in the book because I wanted women to see what an intimate relationship with our King looks like. And that's what How He Loves Us is all about.
So the women would be, what's the first woman?
The first woman is Eve.
Eve.
Yes. Yes. And so we kind of watch a progression from, there's 8 chapters to the Song of Solomon. So we've got 8 chapters with one woman of the Bible in each chapter. And so we kind of watch a progression from Eve, in an immature state, because Song of Solomon opens up with the Shulamite in a very immature state of just coming to meet her king. And then we progress on until chapter 8, which is the Proverbs 31 woman.
Interesting. So how did you, what did you look at for like Rahab?
Rahab is chapter 3. and we are looking at a woman who is willing to surrender herself in all faith is counted as being more righteous than, a perfect woman who can clean herself up but not have the faith of Rahab. And how encouraging is that to us, that I know that, with all of my mess, that it's my faith that would make me righteous with my God. It's my trust in Him and who He is, not in how much I can clean myself up to look good.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, I want to ask about some of the other women that you wrote about. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Joy Michaels. Welcome to Heartbeat. Ever had to keep news to yourself that just seemed utterly impossible to hold in? For me, it was easier not to know a precious secret because an impulse to shout the news would quickly overcome me. So it is with the news of God's great love. There's no reason why I should keep this life-changing message of hope and peace to myself. I've learned that the most effective way to transmit such a great message of hope is just to let it out. If you've experienced the amazing gift of God's love, then shout it out. Let the world know that you've been changed by the God of the universe. Heartbeat is brought to you by the Salvation Army.
Welcome back. I'm here with Lori Gano, and we're talking about her book, How He Loves Us, Revealing the Affections of God. And so you actually studied the original language of Solomon.
Yes.
And then you took each chapter and compared it to a woman. We
That's
talked
right.
a little bit about Eve, and we talked a little bit about Rahab.
Yes.
But let's talk about some of the others. And we won't give it all away because we do want you to go to outofashesministries.com. That's ministries, plural, .com to learn more. So, Eve, you layered it with the Song of Solomon, chapter 1. And then Sarah, the Song of Solomon, chapter 2. So
that's right.
Tell me about Sarah.
And we get to watch Sarah on her journey with Abram. It was Sarai and Abram who were then, graduated to being Sarah and Abraham. And so we watched their journey of faith. And what is so reassuring from their journey is that they didn't walk out a perfect clean and tidy walk before God, they made some serious mistakes. And so we watch Sarah manage her life with Abraham and to step out following her husband who has heard from the Lord. And in that, you know, we see her confidence in moments, and then we see her slip into despair and uncertainty and confusion in moments where not only did she give her husband over to Hagar, and we know the results of that now, but, you know, other moments, even where Abraham presented Sarah as his sister out of fear. And so we watch them continue to do things out of fear. And isn't that so often what we allow to make our decisions for us is fear rather than our faith? And it's reassuring to know that even in those mistakes, even in those failures, that Sarah was still called as righteous again. And so there's a consistent theme here, woman to woman in these stories, and even in the journey of the Shulamite, because we watch her in being timid, I guess, with the king, and then she actually is disobedient, and then she walks out obedience, but then she doesn't know where her king is. And so we kind of watch all of these different interactions with these women and their walk with God, and it seems so familiar to us because same things that we walk through. And to see them come out and to know that their purpose is still there, that the call on their life is still there, even when we mess up, even in those moments where we choose sin when we should have chosen our God first, you know, he doesn't take his hand off of us and say, I'm done with you, no more. You know, I can't believe you've done this. We've not surprised him.
And it's so comforting to know that he loves us in our most weakest state.
Yes.
And okay, let's talk about Mary, Mary, and Mary.
I love the three Marys. And that chapter is really about surrender over service, because I think as Christians, it's real easy for us to step into a place where we feel like if we can do the next right thing, if we can work in this area of ministry, if we can do this with our kids and do it just right, if we can handle our marriage this way or handle our friendships that way, you know, if we can start to check all these things off on the list that make us look really, really good, then we're getting it. But are we spending time at the feet of Jesus? Are we really seeking to know him and to love him and to be loved by him? Because without that, it's all for nothing. And I love especially the story of Mary, Mother of Jesus, in all of this, because throughout the Song of Solomon, we see that we're referred to as God's garden. And that is also confirmed for us in the New Testament as well, that we are God's garden. We are his field of cultivation. And so in Song of Solomon, we're called as his garden. And I think about Mary because, you know, there was a physical seed that was planted in order for our Savior to be born. And she surrendered her womb for that. You know, she said, I am a servant. You know, I'm surrendered to you. I will do whatever you ask of me. Are we doing that with a spiritual womb as women? Are we allowing God to plant a seed in us because our womb, our spiritual womb is surrendered and we would allow him to grow things in us and through us? And I just think that that's so impactful in our walk.
Now, when you're working with these women, have you been able to share this material, or is it just so hot off the press?
You know what's so great is I had not intended on publishing this. I had written this in the 3 years of studying the Hebrew, and I was printing it off on 8.5 by 11 sheets, hot off my home printer, and taking it in. And we were doing the study that way for 3 years, in fact. But we had many spiritual leaders and mentors who were coming in to be a part of the teaching, and they were so moved by it that I realized that this might be a little bit more than just printing these off for the women in the classroom. And so God started to nudge me and open doors toward publishing this book. And it's been quite a journey. But you know what was so amazing was to have the honor of watching these women who had walked through horrific things, to sit in a seat and to hear and read and see the way God feels about them, and to watch them bounce up and down in their chair, so moved by the love of God. It was so overwhelming to watch that year after year.
Yes. And it heals you too.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
very much.
Unfortunately, we still have scars.
Yes.
And we won't be totally made new until God comes again, but he does a lot to help us. You know, if we could see each other, we might, there might be emotional arms or limbs missing.
That's exactly right.
And if we could be more patient with each other, you know, our homes are our first mission places, and Wow, it's yes. hard to be patient with our spouse or our child.
Yes, yes. Amen.
Okay, so what is going to happen in the future? What are some future plans?
You know, we have been so excited in these recent months to focus in on teaching the Song of Solomon in women's conferences. And so we've been invited into several churches, and we'll travel anywhere. We do not do this for money. We do this to have an opportunity to teach and reach the hearts of women. And so we are doing a very specific focus on teaching the Song of Solomon in one day or 2 day women's conferences in different areas and different communities. And so that's been so exciting to watch women come alive in a book that they have mostly avoided. We want them to see that not only is it safe, but it is transforming. It's life-changing to understand those words.
Yes. The Word of God is life-changing, and that means every book
yes.
has something that resonates with some group of people or an individual. And yeah, I know we've kind of shied away from the Song of Solomon, but it's there for a purpose. And mm-hmm. and now, even for me, I'm going to read it again with yeah. you know, along with your book, and really let it speak to me. And I hope that our listeners will go to outofashesministry.com and look at, you know, seriously getting it. It's called How He Loves Us, Revealing the Affections of God. And I know that Satan's there trying to make sure that from the time we're conceived, he's trying to destroy us.
Absolutely.
And fill us with fear food and make us feel of low self-worth, because then we're vulnerable. We really are vulnerable then.
That's right. That's right. Oh, I could share the stories of what the enemy has done to destroy. But, you know, that's his focus, is that, you know, he would love to come in and undo anyone who is starting to put a full charge behind them to step out on behalf of God. I think that we need to be equipped in so many ways in order to stand firm against that. But, you know, spending time just digging through God's Word and being able to spend time with Him there, I think equips us so well.
Amen.
And also, obviously, spending time with Him in prayer. But, I can't say enough about just digging up those treasures out of His book. And I would love to share with you one thing
yes.
from the Song of Solomon.
Yes.
And there are many things, but, you know, some of what we would find, what I would find as we would dig through the Song of Solomon and go through that ancient Hebrew, were the original meanings of some of these words. And so, such as in chapter 5 and verse 2, it says the king is speaking to the Shulamite, and he's trying to urge her to come out into a new place with him. And he speaks to her, and he says, "Oh, my love, my dove, my undefiled." And that word undefiled means morally perfect, usually when coupled together. And so we see that there's a message there where the king is saying to us, because the Shulamite represents us, he's saying to us, "Hey, you were made perfect when you were paired with me as
Amen.
Your king. You
Amen.
Know, it's nothing you've done, but because of what I've done for you, you are perfect."
Amen.
And there's just extraordinary treasure in there.
Amen. What a wonderful way to end the show. We're perfect when we are paired with Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Lori, for spending this time with us. I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.